Thank you for joining me today. This is The Morning Formation, and I'm the host, Papa Kilo. Unlike the last three episodes that you listened to, this one is going to be specifically just me and you, all right? I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about my background and where I come from and why I started this podcast, what inspired me, why am I here, why am I climbing up this huge mountain trying to figure out, you know, how to do all this technical stuff. It's been quite a hike, and it's been a very steep cliff to climb, actually, to learn how to use the cameras, the audio, the microphones, the software, the editing. I mean, it's a lot of stuff, man. And at first, when I told people that I wanted to start a podcast and what it was going to be about and what it was going to entail, a lot of folks kind of looked at me like, you're crazy. Like, that's just a lot of work for what? But to be honest with you, I've wanted to do something like this for a very, very, very long time. And I've kind of teetered on it. And I was on YouTube for a while doing some videos, some military videos. Started out just doing regular traveling vlog videos back in 2017 and did a few of those. Did a few videos that were really embarrassing, like the ones that were top 10 videos. And they're horrible. Don't look for them because you won't find them anywhere on YouTube. They're just terrible. Maybe one of these days I'll put them out there and we can have a good laugh. Over the last, I want to say 4 or 5 months or so, just kind of teeter-tottering on this whole idea of doing a podcast that was structured around military and veterans. And just last December, a very, very good friend of mine who served for 20-some years for the VA, working as a counselor, I had spoken to him multiple times about, hey, you know, if I do this podcast, I'd like to talk to people like you, and maybe at some point I could have you on, and you can talk to me about how it's been for the last 20-some years you've been working for the VA and all the veterans that you've helped out over the years. Just over Christmas, he unexpectedly passed away. I really lost a really good friend. And this gentleman would have been so interesting to talk to because, like I said, I mean, he's talked to literally thousands and thousands of people over the years and helped out so many people. And to have someone like that unexpectedly pass, it just kind of pushed me towards the idea of having to do something like this because there's so many people out there, just like my father and some of the folks that you're going to listen to here in the next few weeks, that have extremely awesome stories, have lived extremely interesting lives. And we live in a society today, it's a 5-second society where we're swiping, we're looking, we're judging, we're very surfaced oriented, not really interested in digging deep into the soul of anything and really getting to know anything or anyone. Just, hey, swipe, 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 swipe as fast as possible, right? So I really want to get into this and actually have some people, you know, describe their experiences, how they felt during that time. Because just like with my father, we spoke the last three episodes. I mean, will we ever see a draft again? I don't think so. I just don't think we will. But again, I don't want to say never. It's just one of those things that it happened and it's done now. And the folks that were drafted and actually went to Vietnam and dealt with that, had their lives extremely changed. They are the ones that we want to talk to and actually say, hey, so what was it like? We can learn from them. Let's listen to them. Let's give them the honor and the time and the respect and give them a podium to stand on to actually talk about things. So my good buddy, his name was Robert. He passed away. And that was the tipping point for me to just finally say, you know what? Stop being afraid of getting in front of the mic. Stop being afraid of getting in front of the camera and just do it. Get out there, screw up, make it better, get judged, everything. Just do it, man. I mean, because how many times do you look back at yourself and wish, damn, I wish I'd done that. I wish I did that and I never did. I know I can say that. I've had multiple things that I wish I had gotten into and I never did. So with that being said, that's my inspiration for being here. And just over the years in general, I've lost so many people that I believe were extremely interesting folks that I never will never ever get a chance to talk to them ever again. I had an uncle who served in World War II. And I remember when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, we'd go to his house and we'd sit at his dining room table. And the man would just talk and talk and talk about World War II. And being a teenager, you know, I didn't really care. I mean, I just didn't find it interesting, right? So the guy spent 2 years, 2 straight years in Europe, which is incredible. I mean, that's a long time to be away from home. It's a lot of time to lose yourself. It's a lot of time to grow up. And when he left, he was in his early 20s. So that was part of his formidable growing up years. And anyways, he passed away. There's no way that I can ever go back. And I can't listen to and respect or appreciate those stories. And I wish I could. Like, I wish I had recorded him. I wish that somebody had actually taken the time to sit down and record the things that he said. But we can't do that. the World War II generation was an amazing generation. They sacrificed a lot. That's one of the many reasons why I'm here. It's why I'm inspired. And I feel like in today's society, in today's culture, the veteran voice is being dissolved and drowned out. We had thousands and thousands of people go to Iraq and Afghanistan and many other places in the world, and they have stories to tell. We come back here and we just kind of stay to ourselves. We don't say anything. We just stay humble and let everyone else who didn't serve tell us how it is. But in reality, we were there. We were on the ground. We smelled it. We tasted it. You never, ever forget what it's like when you first go into a combat theater, into country. You never, ever forget when you cross the border or when that plane lands and you smell the garbage, you smell the trash, you smell war. And that's something that 95%, if not more, Americans will never, ever understand in their lives. So veterans, this is the place for you. This is the place where we stand up and we talk, we share stories to people who are interested, share stories with each other, give advice, help each other out. This is the morning formation. So now I'm going to switch gears, talk about myself just a little bit. So my father served, as you heard in the last three podcasts, my father served in the military for 20 years, drafted for Vietnam, ended up going to Ranger School and missed Vietnam altogether, ended up going to Germany, decided to stay in until retirement. He got out. I was originally born and raised part of my life in Hawaii. And as you heard from him, kind of jumped around, moved around here and there. And then my dad is from Ohio. And so when he retired, that's where we moved to. And so you're talking about local Hawaiian boy moving to the middle of cornfields and soybean fields of Ohio, trying to break the pidgin English, trying not to say, hey, brother, what's up? You know, the stuff over there. And trying to learn how to say, hello, how are you today? Hi, sir. Hi, ma'am. The sun is bright. The sun is sunny. So early on, I had a lot to learn, had a lot to change. A lot of great people living in Ohio, man. A lot of my best friends, a lot of people, a lot of great family in Ohio. I mean, a lot of that stuff you don't appreciate till you're much later, much older in life. And I decided towards my end of my senior year in high school to go into the military. And so I, on my own, without anybody else, no friends involved or nothing, just went to the Army recruiters and said, hey, I want to talk about the military. I want to join the Army. My dad told me straight up, he said, son, you weren't smart enough to get a scholarship, so I'm not going to help you pay for college. He gave me an option. He said, you can go to community college, but if you live in our house, it's still house rules. And I was like, hell no, I'm not staying here after 18 years old. I got to get out. I got to try to fly. I got to try to get out and live my life and be an adult, right? So I called the Army recruiter. Yeah, he ended up coming over to the house, sat down at the kitchen table with me and my dad, and we talked. And I don't even remember what questions I asked him. I do remember that afterwards, my dad had told me, he said, if you do decide to go in the military, I want you to go to college first. And just so happened that one of my old football coaches was a Army National Guard recruiter. And back then, I don't know if it's the same now, the National Guard was offering 100% tuition assistance if you went to a state school. Easy enough, right? I'm just happy to go to college, period. So I signed up, went to MEPS, duck walked in my underwear, bend down, touch my toes, blah, 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 all that stuff, right? Went to MEPS, got signed up. Next thing you know, I'm doing 1 week and a month drills. Then I'm going to college. Had a really great platoon sergeant, really great company commander, really great first sergeant. Had a lot of really good NCOs, man. I tell you, the National Guard, I mean, people give them a lot of crap, but I was very impressed with my leadership in the National Guard, man. They took care of me. As long as you did your job and you worked, they took care of you. And that's what I did. I went in every month to drill and I just worked. I didn't mind doing anything. I didn't mind doing dirty jobs. I didn't mind doing whatever, right? Sign me up. So anyways, my junior year of college, one of the NCOs, I think it was my platoon sergeant, gave me the idea to get commissioned. By this time, I was a corporal, which is fairly rare in the Army to be a corporal. At first, I thought it was cool to be a corporal. I'm one of two people in this whole entire company that's a corporal, right? It's not very fun because you're still an E4, but you have E5 responsibilities. So you go to all the NCO meetings, you go to all the leadership meetings, you still got to do the smaller task, but then you're also responsible for everyone else within your squad. So, I mean, it was a good sense of responsibility nonetheless. So went to my college Army ROTC program and spoke to them and I got signed up. I started as a non-scholarship cadet. It was not scholarship. I was still under the National Guard. They were still paying the 100% tuition and I switched over to become a cadet and still went 1 week in a month. From there, upon graduation from college, I pinned on my second lieutenant bar, my butter bar. And my college's Army ROTC program was pretty awesome, man. The people there were great and a lot of opportunities. A lot of opportunities. I look back now and super fortunate to be around a lot of those folks. Very, very fortunate. So at the end of it all, pinned on my butter bar, went active duty Army. This was the end of 2003. Then I did about 3 months of what's called university gold bar recruiting. That's where you are now graduated from college. You're officially an Army officer and you're working for the ROTC program, just helping out the recruiting officer. So whether it's setting up a presentation or it's talking to a class or whatever, just trying to get people interested in the program. So I did that for about 3 months. My branch was officially was ordnance, and I chose ordnance kind of blindly. I actually wanted military police. My dad was infantry for 20 years, and he told me that it was a better idea for me to go into something else that I could probably use once I got out of the Army, which looking back, I wish I would have went infantry instead, because you have a lot more opportunities to do a lot of the other courses, but it is what it is. And I ended up as ordnance. So then I ended up went to Aberdeen Proving Grounds, started my officer basic course, finished that up. Then I got stationed at Schofield Barracks, Hawaii. I was born in Waihewa, which is where Schofield is located. So I'm going home, right? Well, I show up to Schofield and they give me my orders. They gave me my orders and said that 30 days, you're going to go to Iraq. You're going to join the rest of your company and you're going to be assigned to a headquarters company as a second lieutenant. Anybody knows that if you're a second lieutenant assigned to a headquarters company, you don't have a place there. The headquarters company is full of captains, senior NCOs, first sergeants. There's no one in there, a second lieutenant. So I go, this is in December of 2004. It's been almost exactly a year since I graduated college. Pretty wild. And here I am in Iraq now, right? I fly into Iraq in December. And on that very same day that I arrive into Iraq, the dining facility is bombed by a suicide bomber. The insurgent had dressed as a Iraqi army personnel and snuck on base and went into the dining facility and blew himself up. And I remember that day really well. It was a very, very confusing, very stressful time, especially to arrive in country. Right after they bombed the dining facility, there was casualties and there was a lot of injuries. The hospital was located across the road and it was on the next base over. So they knew that there was going to be casualties. They knew there was going to be injuries. So the insurgents immediately started mortaring and rocketing, trying to hit the hospital because they wanted to cause mass chaos. And they did. And all the local Iraqis that worked on the entry control points, they quit. They just walked away. They put down their guns and said, the hell with this. We don't want anything to do with this. So, you know, because we were working, we had American soldiers out there, and then we also had Iraqi army folks out there working at the same time. That's what my day one was like. And it was pretty wild. They immediately assigned me a what's called a CHU. CHU stands for Container Housing Unit, I think is what it was what it stands for. And it's just basically just a tin can. And they're like trailers that they section off into separate rooms. So at any rate, I got a can, and right outside my CHU or my can, there was a mortar bunker, and it was just like a regular concrete bunker that was shaped into an arch. And middle of the night, when you get mortared rockets or whatever, you start hearing stuff incoming. You run out there in your underwear and Kevlar and your vest, and you try to put it all on and get underneath the bunker until it stops. So that's how it was for the first few nights when I was in Iraq. And I was like an orphan because the battalion didn't know what to do with me. And so they finally assigned me to a transportation company, and it was a reserve transportation company. So I was going to be taking over for a lieutenant that had already been in country for about a month. There wasn't a lot of time for me to gain any reciprocity or mold or mend with the folks that I was going to be in charge of. So here was an Army Reserve company getting an active duty second lieutenant taking over for him. So early on, we're kind of sensing each other out and whatever. But long story short, did a year there, had some very, very awesome squad leaders, had some very, very good NCOs, had some bad NCOs, had some bad lower enlisted. And that's for another time. But overall, there were some very, very good NCOs there because I had to learn everything in country. I relied on them to show me what it was to convoy. That was our main job. Our main job was to get from point A to point B and to escort trucks. When I say trucks, I mean like semi-trucks. There was also some trucks that had prisoners. We delivered ballot boxes during the Iraqi elections in Mosul. And this was after Fallujah. So Mosul after Fallujah was pretty intense. And it was quite a dangerous time. There were multiple times when we'd be out on the road and things were quite dangerous. And I was very fortunate to have the NCOs train me up to the point to where I could actually run a convoy. I owed it to them. My NCOs were much, much better than me when it came to just thinking on their feet. They had all the training before deployment, and they had a month ahead of me where they had experienced a lot of different things. And so I leaned on them heavily. But we had several close calls during my time there. I had two guys in my platoon that ended up getting Purple Hearts, and we had multiple IEDs hit our vehicles, one of which I actually ran over one just outside of Talifar on my way to FOB Sykes. Talifar was, this was probably in, well, this was in June when I had my incident happen, but all through the spring into the summer, Talifar was just a hot mess. It was insane. And I guess I'll share this with you since I'm sitting here, and I have it right here with me, but this, I'll show it on the video here. This is a rubber strip with electric tape wrapped all around it, and it's got these nails sticking through it, about an inch apart. At any rate, this was part of an IED that I ran over in Iraq. This was designed to kill me, this piece of cord right here. This was attached to a mortar round that was buried on the side of the road, and just because of the way they buried it and the way they faced the way that they actually faced the mortar round, the ground actually took the blunt of the explosion. I spoke to EOD the next day, and they said that if it had been facing any more upwards, that it would have blown our Humvee up. So that's something that I'll talk about another time, and as far as like what I can remember from that incident. There were other ones that happened throughout my time there. And for that year, I think we were fearless. Like we had a lot of dumb shit, a lot of crazy shit happen to us. And at the end of the day, we just persevered and kept going for that entire freaking year. And it's been over 10 years since I got out of the Army. And I often think back to that time. And for me, it's just unbelievable. Some of the things that I can remember doing, and some of the things I can remember my folks doing, just incredible. We look at ourselves as, it's not a big deal, it's just our job, right? But if a civilian were to see what you had saw through your eyes at that time, they would be astonished. And that's how I feel a lot of veterans are. We come back here and we're humbled, and we don't say much, we don't talk a whole lot about things, and it's just not something you want to go back to. It's not something that you want to talk about. And I want to say this too. I was talking to someone recently about it. Veterans who've actually done things and been through things don't like to talk about those times of stress and anxiety. And the main reason is because it's not cool. It's not cool. It's not fun to feel like you are in danger. Now, some people are able to come to grips, and some people are able to talk about those things openly, but there's a lot of people that just don't want to go back there, and they don't want to talk to people, especially people who don't understand or don't appreciate or don't honor or respect it, the stories of stress and anxiety. And for me, that's how it was for me, because when I came back and I was talking to anyone about my experiences, I could see the lights just turn off. I could see in their faces that they just didn't understand the gravity of the situation. And so that's one thing that I think is important when it comes to veterans. This podcast is a place for you to communicate, talk, get it out there about your experiences, what you did, and have people who appreciate, who want to download this stuff and want to listen to you. I want to hear what you have to say, because what you did and what happened to you and the decisions you made are important. They are the decisions that 90-some% of the U.S. population will never have to make. You as a veteran should be very proud of your time, and you should understand that you're part of a very exclusive group. You're part of the less than 5% that have ever raised their hand and said, yes, I'll do that. I'll put on boots and I'll go through that. I'll deal with that. I'll leave home. I'll drop everything that I'm doing. Tell my wife and kids, hey, take care of yourself for the next year. I'm going to go away and take care of this. You stood up. So let's be proud. Let's be proud of our time. We're part of an exclusive group. And that's my message today. To finish off my story, I got out in August of 2007 as a captain, 03, just before my command time. My last position was S3. So because of my experience as a platoon leader in combat, running convoys, they saw that as a strong category for me to go into as far as training. And it was. I loved training. I loved every part of it. It's just, there's a lot of things I didn't know as a young captain that I wish I had known. So again, I was very fortunate to have older captain mentors that helped me out while I was in the battalion S3. And with that being said, this is pretty much it for today. I just wanted to get on here and tell you a little bit about myself and my background. At some point, I'm going to talk about the transition out of the military, and I'll give some advice on that as well. And if you're at a place in your life, your career, where you plan on separating from the military, I'll give you some things to think about. I'll give you some things to ponder, some things to toss around, and you make your own decisions. But I think it's more important that just because we're out of the military, we don't stop mentoring and we don't start helping each other. We don't stop being there for each other as well. We might live hundreds of thousands of miles apart, but at the end of the day, we're still here. And this goes for anyone out there who's doing any type of first responder type work, who understands what it's like to have each other's backs, no matter where you came from, no matter what you look like, no matter what you believe in. You guys fought together for a common cause and you continue to fight together today for a common cause. And that's what this podcast is about. I'm going to do everything that I can do in my power to make sure that I get people on this show who are willing to talk, willing to mentor, willing to help people out. And so I appreciate you giving me the time today to just talk solo one-on-one, just me and you getting to know a little bit about me and my background and where I come from. And with that being said, I'm going to drop it off from here. But in summary, where I want to go with this is I want to say this very, very last thing. No matter what experiences you go through, whether positive or negative, don't ever be ashamed of what happened or the decisions you made. You grow from them. You learn. You become a better person. Don't hang your head. Don't think about, oh, I should have, could have, would have. You just make it better the next time you're put in that situation. And you do the best job that you can do, because at the end of the day, there's very few people in this world that will stand up and that are willing to put themselves in harm's way, or willing to tell their life, to tell their families, to say, hey, life, family, I got to go. I got to go take care of something. I'm going to be deployed for a while. I'm going to be gone for a while. I'm going to pull a double shift tonight. I'm going to go deal with this thing going on over here, and because someone has to do it, and it's me. I was chosen to do this. This is who I am. Don't ever be ashamed of the decisions you make. Just grow from them and learn. And that's my final message to you. I want to thank you for your time today. I look forward to having more podcasts, and I look forward to interviewing more people, and I look forward to digging into the soul of these stories and actually getting to the meat and potatoes of how we can grow, why we're here, and why we did what we did. With that being said, this is the Morning Formation Podcast. Thank you for listening. I look forward to our next time together. You guys take care and you stay safe. This is Papa Kilo, and I'm out. You've been listening to the Morning Formation Podcast. I hope you found today's materials helpful and of value to your current situation. You can connect with me on Instagram at the_morning_formation_podcast, or you can connect with me via email at theformationpodcaster@gmail.com. Also, I would like to thank my partners at Act Now Education for their support. Authenticity, community, and trusted is what you can expect from all members of the Act Now Education team. You can link up with them today and learn about some new free educational resources on their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or at their website, actnoweducation.com. Whether today's show took you back to a nostalgic time or helped you think about tomorrow, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you again. Stay safe and stay motivated. Warriors, fall out.